So for anyone listening today, this is a bit of a different episode. I have my gorgeous, I'm going to say future wife, you can shut up, here with me, Michelle. Today is the... Did she say hello?
Hello.
Hello. do as you're told, slave. I'm kidding. Tomorrow is our 2-year anniversary, and today we're spending time together because we were able to schedule out in our calendars to do so, which is harder than it would seem sometimes. And we thought that what might be nice is sharing a little, or like I thought would be nice, is sharing a little bit of how the past 2 years have gone, the biggest lessons that probably both of us have learned. And I think that the reason why I want to share this is because Michelle is actually a really high-performing business owner as well. And I notice a lot of people out there who aren't on the same page as their partner and have to dance around what they want in their life because they were never actually really congruent and actually moving towards the same things at the same time as well. And I thought what might be nice is sharing the past lessons from the past 2 years as to how, or in some way, shape, and form, we've been able to get on the same page when, by DNA and coding, we're two totally different people.
Can I also add that our situation isn't entirely black and white on paper? We both come from very different situations.
Absolutely.
And that also throws a lot into the mix.
100%. And I think we both have a very different perspective as to how both the male or female mind works at the same time too, not just in the way the decisions are made and all sort of stuff, but I hear people say, I have to go speak to my wife before I make a decision on this or whatever it is. And I'm grateful that I've never had to do that with you.
Yeah, no,
because there's, I'm assuming it's because there's a level of trust or whatever it is, but you might be able to explain that better at the same time too, right? But my belief is it's because, I know I could be wrong, we spend a lot of time getting on the same page.
Yes, we've done all the hard work first, and I personally feel like this is the first time in a relationship where I feel now we're stepping into the honeymoon phase. Because a lot of people start off on a high, and they start off with all the excitement and the fireworks and the butterflies, and you did not give me that at the start. I'm not going to lie to you.
The first couple of days I did. Don't you fucking dare. I absolutely did. And then you were horrible to me for a fair while after that. But I wouldn't change it for the world, right? And to share a little bit of background at the same time too, right? Like the reason why I think that this is probably worth communicating too is like Michelle owns a business right now that does multiple hundred thousands of dollars a year. So she already had a little bit of an insight or inclination as to how committed someone in business has to be before they actually, you know, get into, not get into a relationship, but understanding the mind of that is...
No, you're 100% right, before getting into a relationship, because... The reason why I am with you, or part of the reason, it's not just one of them, is that you understand
for
the commitment.
Money. For my money.
100%. Your Amex.
My Amex. The one that got cancelled while I was in fucking Canada.
Well, reapply, because I don't know why I'm here. No, I'm
Wow.
And the reason why I sort of shared that is because one of the biggest things that I think makes an impact on the way that we probably do either work together or have been able to communicate together is actually our experience in business, being able to talk about planning and all that stuff.
And I hated you when you mentioned it at the start. A relationship.
Do you love
I
it
don't
now?
Treat a relationship
do you
any
love it
different
now?
To how I treat a business.
But
and
do you
I was
love
like,
it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you thought but so talk to me about that. But do you see the value in it now?
Yes.
Do you love it now?
Yes.
Okay, so that means she loved it about 60%. There's 40% she doesn't love
it. No, I love everything about it.
And one of the biggest things that I think is worth mentioning, and the reason why I'm really passionate about talking about the context of the, you know, the whirlwind of topics that might come out is at the same time as well, is because if you are someone that actually has the skills of vision creating, negotiation, and expectation management, you can have an amazing relationship. You just might not be in a position where you're using the same skills in a place of your home life, whatever it is. And I think that so many people suffer with a division between home life and what they actually truly want or whatever it is, because they aren't willing to have those hard conversations about that stuff, and they aren't willing to self-admit that they possibly might be with the wrong fucking person too, because they might have evolved. And that's something that I notice happens quite a fair bit, because one person evolves and the other one doesn't, if that makes sense, right? Prayer and hope is that we keep evolving at the same rate, if that makes sense. And the point of managing expectations onto the stuff is always to do that, to make sure that we are on the same page at the same time as well. And what I wanted to do is, like, in this short episode is, like, give a little bit of an insight to maybe the past, like, the biggest lessons I've learned from this relationship, and how it applies to other areas and the similarities and the comparisons and all that stuff as well. Then to hear some of Michelle's, but then also to, just because I think it's genius in the way that the way that Michelle thinks as well, and then some stuff about the future too. But what I'd love to do is, because I've communicated this a few times to many of the people who have either come through our programs, or I actually did a podcast on it like a fair while ago too, but your triage core skills on our first date. And the purpose of the triage call, because so many people don't understand what a triage call is for, but I bet you could explain it fucking perfectly.
Can we just put a disclaimer here? We both came from two very different worlds. So, because I don't
can you explain that for, like,
yes.
Give me your context on that.
So, and please correct me if I'm wrong at any point.
You're never wrong. You're too beautiful to be wrong.
So, my background is quite traditional. I'm very family orientated. Even though I'm a high performing business owner, I have a high focus on the family home lifestyle. Whereas in Chris was just a little bit more, let's see how we go.
Let's fucking go!
So, Chris and I met on a walk, a random walk that we were doing during lockdown.
This is after 5 years of her stalking me on social media and,
me stalking.
We were both trying to shoot our shot. She hooked me up with one of her friends. That was a terrible situation. And she did that. I think it was a decoy. I really think it was. Because she was in love with me.
No, you asked me.
Yeah, but it was a decoy. You're like, hey, 100% ticket.
Anyway. So we met on a walk and then...
To add some color to that. Because she like, this might not be the first time you hear this. We didn't meet on a walk. She was about to hop onto the bay walk that you guys might have heard him talk about in the past, and I scared the shit out of her.
Yes. So I jumped from the car park onto the track, the walking track, and then Chris just popped out and I went and was like, hello.
She almost died. Anyway, so this date, that wasn't a date, but the first time we met, and then we did go on a first date.
Yes, so we went on a first date. At this point in time, everything in Sydney was shut down.
Oh, COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, it was during COVID.
And he just said, do you want to go for another walk? And I went, I'll let you know, because I thought you were in a relationship.
I wasn't.
You weren't. But anyway, we went on to another walk, and then we grabbed some dinner. No, sorry. We went on
two separate, two walks. Yeah.
So we went on the first walk, and then I really liked him. I thought, oh, I want to continue to get to talk to him, because our conversations were quite intense. But at that point in time, I didn't understand you. So you used to talk a lot, and I never actually retained any of the information you gave me. But I thought, oh, he's really nice. You were nice, and you were very respectful. So we went on to another walk, and then... we grabbed some dinner and sat by the water.
In both of these scenarios, just for context, in the first one, she was asking me a lot of hard questions. And then in the second one, she asked even harder questions. So if anyone listening, she did a triage call and a sales call with me.
Yes.
She 100% did.
So we sat down, we're eating dinner, and Chris, he was talking about his goals and how in that point in time, COVID was stopping him from moving to America. And I think I had a chicken bone in my mouth at the time, and I dropped the bone, and I was like, well, why are we on this date? And he went silent, and he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, why are we sitting here trying to get to know each other when you have no intentions of even staying in the country. Do you remember that?
Of course I do, and I still don't have intentions of staying in the country. I have intentions of staying in the country part-time.
No, but at the time, you wanted to move there full-time. Anyway. And then, yeah, so I basically, we spent a good, let's say a year, just over a year, really triaging each other and tweaking it.
Yeah, there was probably, and like if we're going to jump into it, like one of the biggest and first lessons that I can take away from this relationship, and where I see a lot of relationships fuck up, and I'm not going to judge anyone else, I don't actually have authority to speak about anyone else's relationships or whatever it is, but I do know that the first year of our relationship was all about getting on the same page, and we still have to do that now. I think the biggest lesson is that, one of the biggest lessons is that in order for you to actually get what you want out of a relationship, being on the same page is more important than anything else. More important than how you treat each other, more important than buying gifts, more important than love languages, more important than anything, because all of that stuff is a band-aid if you guys aren't on the same page.
Yeah, but how do you get on the same page? So this was another thing I was thinking about.
Business skills.
No, there were a few things that you did that I thought was really, really gave you a point of difference.
As opposed to... like other competition I had?
Yes, anything
I had competition,
else
I had. Did I?
Yeah. No, not
I probably did have competition.
No, you didn't. Anything else I had ever experienced. I remember it was around about Christmas time. So we met in August, 1st of August, and Christmas time is when you told me you love me.
Mm.
And not long after that, you sent me a love language test.
Yes.
And I said, what's this? And I'll never forget it. You said, I want you to tell me how to love you better.
Mm.
And I thought that was very powerful because just that small act really showed how much you wanted to understand me. And I personally feel that understanding someone is probably the most pure, strongest form of intimacy to be understood. Because a lot of people's arguments come from being misunderstood. So you were putting different, what do you call them? Not traps. Sort of traps.
Tools?
Tools.
Well, but the love language test is a tool, right?
It's a tool, but there were multiple times.
But it's a tool of understanding.
Yes. And you've done that so many times. You asked if you narrow it down. You keep breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. So for me, it was quality time. And I remember you then asking me, well, what does quality time look like to you?
Yeah,
what
could you value? Could you give me an example of quality time? So, like, but like that was the sort of stuff that I'd be asking for anyone listening. They're like, that's a sales call question.
Yes.
Right?
So
like,
quality time can mean anything. Quality time to someone might be a seaplane date.
Yeah.
But for me, it would just be, oh, I'll walk with a coffee.
Which we do probably once to twice a week.
Yes.
At the moment, right now.
Yes.
Which for our current situation is probably perfect.
Yes, but
right?
It's always been our thing.
Yeah.
I find that quite sentimental because that was the ground basis of us meeting each other. It was always, do you want to go for a coffee and a walk? And
so, are you saying I should scare you every morning? is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
I'm in. Like, I'm 100% in. But thank you for mentioning that too, though, right? Because I have the skills that I have, and I'm always open to learning and bettering my skills at the same time too. But one of the hardest things that I was, I think maybe because I felt like I was crazy, where I'm like, I have this feeling that business skills will actually make this relationship better.
And I didn't believe you.
No, but so many people wouldn't.
Mm.
Right. And I'm like, I just have this feeling because one, like, I think I've explained to you, like one of the things that I've seen with myself, it's just like my own self-discovery within myself, is like I have a really good point of view of on comparisons. Like I'm like, well, this system in sales can work in recruitment and all sort of stuff as well.
And I only started to understand that until you popped me onto a coaching program.
Right.
And then when I started to learn about direct reports and rapport with my team,
yep,
to reach a goal of success... And then I started to understand where you had linked
the
two.
The comparisons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I've started to nurture and build really strong connections within my business, not only with my clients, but the team.
Mm.
And then I was like,
I'm starting to understand it, yeah.
Right. Daily huddles, weekly huddles, monthly huddles. How are we tracking? Where are our goals? Where are we at? How can we change? How have I upset you? How can I do better? So, yes.
How have I upset you? Let's not have that conversation right now. But for me, I was like, I have this feeling that, like, my business skills are going to be able to add value to not this relationship, but any relationship and anyone that I have as a close connection of mine's relationships too, right? Because the skills of casting vision, management of expectations, negotiation, and just like, are we on track, which is like huddles and stuff, right, is exactly in my opinion, and I've seen the fruits of it be true. So I have experience and results to say that it works.
Not straight away though.
No, because there was resistance.
Yes, not only that though, when you plant seeds, the seeds don't grow overnight.
Absolutely.
But you have to continuously water them and wait for them to sprout.
Absolutely, but it's a marketing thing.
Yeah.
But because the thing is, so the first time you heard it, you didn't understand it. So it would have been like the first time you heard about aliens. It's like, what do you mean? I don't understand it, right? So that's a marketing thing. That's just an exposure to the actual concept, if that makes sense, right?
Consistently.
Correct, which is marketing. Mm. And for context as well, like, one of the ways that we are on the same page, because this is the biggest expectation management tool that there is, I have a 20-year plan. And I bring that document up at least once a month and say, hey, are we fucking moving toward this thing or not, if that makes sense? And we've had a lot of conversations that are based around, you know, what part are we both playing in going toward this? Like, for me, and I don't have any guilt in saying this, and Michelle will be the first to communicate it as well, like, I have no time for things that don't fit within the confines of that document, and I don't have the time for dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, like, if there's someone that I'm around, like, and they aren't gonna, like, I don't see how I can use my best skills to add value to that human's life or vice versa or whatever it is, like, we're both wasting time.
Yes.
In a huge way. So for me, like, in the same way that we have a business plan, like, I have a very long-term life plan, and the hardest things I found at the beginning is, like, until we had that, you didn't believe that I had a plan and where we were going and stuff as well.
So this was another thing. I feel like we both cornered each other. And this is quite vulnerable for me to say, and I don't know if it's going to get either of us into shit from each other, but...
I'm in shit all the time. Continue, please.
I started researching a lot into the masculine and feminine energies, and... this is so politically incorrect, but I'm going to say it, gender roles. You probably weren't entirely understanding it. I was quite new to it. So the way you were cornering me is, this is where I'm heading, and if you have any intention in stopping me in my tracks, this will not work out.
Mm.
And you were so clear on it, and you said to me, this is what I need out of my time. If the time does not contribute to me working towards this goal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I do not have time for you in my life. And you were so stern on it. And for me, I was like, ooh, okay, this is what I need.
There was a part of you that was dancing.
I was dancing because for myself, I always operate in my masculine because I'm a single mother, I run a company, and I finally had met someone that made me feel like a woman. So even though I have my own goals and my own aspirations, what I truly believe is for a man to take lead, he needs to build trust and confidence within the female. And this is what Chris did. He came to me with a 20-year plan, slammed it on the table and said, this is where I'm heading. And this plan it wasn't selfish. It wasn't just from your own perspective, because as a man, you were... everything in there was covered, from your team to your wife to your home to your children to you took what I wanted out of life. Because do you remember that time we sat at a cafe when you were living at Wentworth Point and you said to me, write down everything
Chris did.
He sat me down and he said, I want you to write everything on a piece of paper, absolutely everything. From hobbies, travel, children, what I want out of life, what I want to do for work, if I even want to work. And he said, whatever you have in your heart, put it on a piece of paper, and he took that paper and wrote a 20-year plan.
Not immediately. It took longer than that. It took a breakup. It took me hiring a relationship coach. It took me, there was a lot of growing up for me to do because there was a lot of fear of loss.
In all aspects.
Yeah, it was a fear of loss, right? Like, I was adamant that I was going to live in America full time. Unconsciously so, if that makes sense. And I felt like I would lose if I didn't have that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And all the, a million other things at the same time too. So don't think that just because Michelle went and wrote down what she wanted that I was like, cool, let's go.
No.
It's still like, in the same way that Michelle was saying that she had resistance around me coming to the conclusion of this planning tool, she had resistance that I had resistance when she then got clear from like, ah, fuck. Now this means that it's up to me to do something about it.
Yes.
Which created a lot of resistance within me.
But I also had to give you the reassurance that I was supporting you and backing you up 100%.
Absolutely.
And I have to continuously do that.
Absolutely.
Because
my love language for a long time, just for context, because especially in that, actually not just like, I think most business owners have a real deep-seated, daddy issue of some sort. Seriously.
Sorry.
I'm being dead serious.
I understand. That's why
but,
I'm laughing.
But the reason is because they need external gratification from someone else because they didn't get it elsewhere when they were younger.
Yeah.
Which is why I believe I was so blessed to have had the upbringing that I did, because like I used that, unconsciously used it as a tool to create what I've created, right? So I remember telling him like, hey, like I know I need words of affirmation. You have to keep telling me that shit. Now I don't need it.
Mm.
Now I need acts of service.
Yes.
Like take shit off my plate, if that makes sense, right? Which is why I'm on a hiring spree at the moment. I don't do shopping sprees, I do hiring sprees. But the soul like getting on the same page thing didn't happen immediately by any stretch at all. If anything, it's been one of the hardest tasks I've ever had to do. Genuinely one of the hardest tasks I've ever had to do.
It was a big lesson for me.
Tell me about the lesson.
Having to recommit every single time. Every single time there was a bit of a rupture between us, and then we'd kind of refine what we wanted, where we're going, how we're going to do it. I had to recommit, and that's scary every single time, because it's almost like, okay, well, what am I committing to? Because I didn't know what you were going to come up with next. But that's when I had to learn to completely surrender to you and trust you.
What's interesting about this too is that it was never anything that was going to come up next. All it was new examples to understand the same thing in a different way.
Yes.
Almost every time, right? Which is the same for, again, client expectation management and even marketing, right? Like all it is it's internal relationship marketing to prove that we're going the way that we want to go and to understand what the next stage looks like, if that makes sense, right? Like that's all it is. Without that, everything, like there's no picture of what it looks like. Then when you add it in there, there's almost instant resistance until you understand it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And
I feel the easiest way to understand that is by breaking it down into micro tasks. What next? What do we have to do?
For sure. I think that one of the like best examples of this is that when I put that document together, which was essentially like the life plan document, all to the staff as well, there was an additional document, which was the wife job description.
Love this one. You misogynist.
Well, fuck. And I've jokingly said this to some clients who I'm like, hey, like, I have a skill for creating documented procedures and stuff and being able to create a level of clarity through brain dumping and putting it into something based on what I want to happen and what I expect to go wrong at the same time as well. And I'm like, I bet you it'll work here.
Sorry, you actually... I will never forget this. When you presented this document, every objection that I had, you said, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
And I wrote this down. Yep, I knew you were going to say this. He had my objections on the paper.
100%.
I thought you were a freak of nature.
Done, man.
I was scared.
So I ran a training for our clients last week, which is like, once you have the information you need from a discovery call, you can then work out what are the objections a person's going to have. What are the objections a person's going to have on the sales call? And then you can come up with two or three stories prepared, ready to go prior to the sales call of past client experiences or things that you can overcome the thing that they're scared of or whatever it is. So that when you get there, it's like, oh, cool, it'll make sense. Right. And that was another version of creating a level of clarity that made it what perceives to be easy to comprehend and go, cool, I can commit to this if that makes sense. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad. Well, like that would be like my first biggest lesson that I've learned is like, the management of expectations is probably the biggest and most important thing. Like, I don't know one of anything bigger, in my opinion.
For me, it's just understanding you, to be honest. Okay. And because
Could you give me an example and talk me through that? Because even I'm curious.
Okay, so I think one of the biggest keys to succeeding in a relationship is doing your own work. Looking at yourself in the mirror, and then a lot of the times when you're in relationships, they're putting mirrors in front of you. And you constantly did that for myself. Every time I was triggered by something, you put a mirror up. And it was almost like I kept wanting to walk forward, but you just like kept stopping me in my tracks. And when you processed information in a certain way, or you were triggered in a certain way. I don't know how far I can go.
As far as you want to can.
Okay, so I don't know.
No, like say what you what's actually
sure?
you want.
Yes. Okay, so when Chris gets extremely overwhelmed or
this doesn't happen anymore, by the way.
It doesn't happen anymore. But Chris used to hit his head.
Yeah, and I've openly said this to clients and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if I was crossing a line or not.
No.
So Chris used to hit his head.
It was out of a... So the reason I used to hit myself in the head, because it was like so much frustration, feeling so out of control, that the first thing I could do to control something was actually hit myself because I felt like I was in control of doing something.
Then, yes.
Right? So I'd either punch a wall or hit myself, right? So because of my lack of feeling of control, I would actually go into self-sabotage, and that was the brand of self-sabotage that I did at that time. Now, I don't know what my self-sabotage is today.
You took it out on your phone for a bit?
Yeah, I threw my phone. Yeah, but it was always control via destruction of some sort.
Yes.
Right? So anyway, go on.
In terms of understanding you, I think on our third or fourth date, you did it when we were making pizzas at your house.
Mm.
And you did it, and I was kind of taken back, and I thought, oh, this is a bit much. And you called me the next...
This guy's fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, I was like, why is he hitting himself? Oh, my goodness. But it wasn't just like a tap on the head.
No,
His fist and repeatedly punch his head. And, like, it would welt. He'd look at me and he'd look like, you know, is it Hunchback of Notre Dame? Or one side of his face was like... And I'm like, dude,
It all came from a place of me not feeling like I was in control. I now know how to make sure I'm in control every day, right? Like, and that's, like, why that doesn't happen. It hasn't happened for...
A very long time.
At least... A year? No, probably 8 or 9 months strong where I've been fully, in my opinion, in control, if that makes sense. But go on.
So he did that, and I thought, oh, he's a bit weird. It's a bit much. I don't know why it's happening to him when he feels this way. And then he explained himself the next day, and I thought, okay, well, there's some sort of reasoning behind what he does. And then it happened probably 3 or 4 times after that. In about a 5-month period. I remember it was November. We met in August and it happened in November because a month after that is when you told me you loved me.
Right.
And one day we ordered pizza. It was a Friday night and we sat on the lounge and something happened with your order and you were so frustrated because we were both extremely exhausted. It was the end of the week. And you're like, I just want my fucking pizza. And it came in the wrong order. And then...
Yeah, if anyone knows, it was too much cheese. Faris listens to this, like, Faris and I have been in Toronto in a burrito shop. And I ended up walking out because they couldn't comprehend the simplicity of my order. So, yeah, I just want meat and bread. Like, yeah, you get three other things. I'm like, and that's great, but I don't want those three other things. And they couldn't understand it. So, I would just fuck you and walk out.
Anyway.
So, imagine when I get the pizza and I can't actually say fuck you and change it.
I know, because the Uber guy. Anyway, so Chris was furious because he was so hungry. And I didn't want to start my food because my man ain't eating with me. And he's like, can you please just eat, Michelle? I said, no.
It used to be one of my biggest frustrations.
Yes, and I said, look, let me pick off all the onion. Let me start to... And he's like, I don't want you to fix this. And then I kind of just sat there and I thought, well, he doesn't want me to fix it. I don't want to start eating without him. This is frustrating him even more. And he slapped his head twice. And at this point, I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you, you stupid psychotic cunt.
Wow.
I'm done with you hitting yourself.
Wow.
So I looked at him. I didn't say this to you, but this was in my head. That's what I said.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I said, are you right or left-handed? And he said, right, why? And I whacked the other side of his head for him. And it was hard. And he just looked at me. I said, every time you hit your head...
That's when I knew she was the one. And I was,
I'm going to whack the other side of your head. Because you can't leave the other side out. And we just sat there in silence. And I hugged you. And that was the moment where I saw you let go. Because you were like, I could see in your face, you're like, wow, someone's accepting me and not demonizing a way that I process some sort of information.
Just for context again, this is 2 years ago. This is not, didn't happen.
Yes, I do not touch him. Just another disclaimer, this is not a DV situation.
Yeah, she hits me. She hits me. So if anyone out there listening, my future wife hits me. and this is a cry for help.
A reward for... understanding you is by allowing you to be yourself, and it's given you space to grow and be better, so those things are not repeated.
That's accurate, yes.
This is what I mean when I say this is one of the biggest lessons. I truly, truly believe that understanding is the most purest and strongest form of intimacy in a relationship because, yeah.
So, what were some of the things you had to work to understand with me, and what was your, let's call it, understanding strategy? Because for someone listening who might be sitting there going like, fuck, like maybe I need to understand my partner more or whatever it is, right? Like, what's the strategy for understanding in that context?
I can answer this from the back of my head. So
can you answer from your head though?
Yes.
Okay, good.
when I first met you, I had 8 years of experience of understanding someone that didn't know how to communicate their feelings, and that's my son Jeremiah. And motherhood is probably the hardest things. It's probably the first line of business and direct reports and one-on-one meetings that you can ever experience, because you're dealing with someone that from the start they cannot verbally explain what they're feeling, what they're seeing, how they want to be understood. A lot of the times when a toddler or a child wants to explain how they feel, the first response is smacking or hitting or screaming and yelling. So in ways that I had to understand my son is by putting myself in his position. So what is he trying to tell me? If he's screaming and hitting, and sometimes he'd bang his head on the wall, like, why is he doing that? Why is there so much frustration? What is he trying to tell me? So when you couldn't find the words to explain what you were feeling in that moment, because you'd always come around either an hour or the next day to explain yourself, in that moment, I had to put myself in your position. And as frustrating as that was, because I think naturally as humans, we are probably selfish, I'd say. We'd always think, oh, well, why is he acting like this towards me? Or why am I feeling... you know, like, I don't want to be here when he acts like that. When I had to think about what you were doing in that moment, I thought, well, if I was feeling that way, what would I want? And that would be to be accepted, nurtured, understood, and maybe have someone present. Not necessarily say anything to me, but just let me be without judgment. Because I had to do that with my son so many times. He would have meltdowns. And I was brought up in a household where if I had a meltdown, my mum would say, you're crying. Well, if you're crying now, I'll give you something to cry about because there's nothing to cry about. But in my world, there was everything to cry about. I was upset. Even though it wasn't to her level of understanding, I love my mum so much, but she never tried to understand why I was crying.
Mm.
So when my son would cry, I would think about, okay, well, why is he crying? These are big emotions in his world in that current present moment. So I had to do that with you. And not to say that I was treating you like a child, but treating you like a human, because we always associate big emotions and big feelings with children, or you're acting childish, or you're being a baby. But if we are not taught our own emotions, or we're not taught how to regulate, we all need help doing that. So it wasn't you acting like a child or acting like a baby, and vice versa. There are times where I'm crying and you're like, in your head, you're probably thinking, why the fuck is she crying? But it's putting yourself in that position from a humanitarian perspective, the same way I do with my son.
We have to do this with clients.
Yes.
Like, this is the nature of the business that I run, that you're starting to understand more because of the exposure and all sort of stuff as well, is that, like, I'm dealing with emotion 90%. Like, a sales call is 100% dealing with emotion, right? So I get and understand this at the same time too. So seeking to understand is extremely important. Do you want to know what I've found to be one of the best things for that? Is prevention of not being understood. So instead of getting to a stage where that happens, it's like pre-prevention of that.
You did that perfectly last night, actually.
Right? Like, it's pre-prevention of that. Just like within sales calls, right? Like, the best way to handle objections is to pre-handle it, right? And when it comes to relationships or speaking with a significant other or who cares, your mother, right? It's like, prevention is going to be better than a tactical solution to use when something, you know, does happen, if that makes sense, right? So that's my opinion. But knowing to seek to understand at the time of meltdown is fantastic. Well, at the time of need for understanding is fantastic. And I think earlier in the relationship, that's going to be very helpful. As you move on, prevention is going to be a better tool, in my opinion. What do you think?
And what is prevention to you? How would you...
Well, it's communicating to someone like, this is who I am, what I want, what I'm doing. This is where I typically tend to have XYZ challenges. Like, how would you deal with that situation? What would you do in the situation?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like communicating through it and then say, cool, if this happens, then what?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's prevention. I was listening to a podcast last night and I think this is something that I'd like to do at the same time too, is like pre-marriage counseling. So, like, there's prevention of understanding what's going to happen in it. And it's like a conversation around, okay, cool, when this happens, how do we deal with this? When this happens, how do we deal with this? Whether it's with someone or with ourselves, if that makes sense, or whatever it is, it's like, is there a plan for X, Y, and Z? If not, then how do we put ourselves in a position where that's not going to be an issue when that does come up, if it does come up, at least as a plan, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Right? So prevention is more important than the tactical solution for when something does come up. However, the tactical solution is also really helpful at the same time too. It's not this or that. It's this and that, I think.
Yes. Sorry, my mind was just wandering for a second.
Okay.
There was something that popped up. Do you remember, or you still do it, not so much now because when you're here, you want to spend as much time with me as you possibly can, but we used to book Airbnbs to just get away for a night or two.
Still so helpful to do it.
Yes, and I remember communicating this with a friend. And
did they not understand it?
They did not understand
it. Yeah, okay.
And thankfully, Chris and I are extremely transparent and our communication is on its A game. And this particular
There's days where it isn't.
Mm.
No, but there's days where it isn't or moments where it isn't.
I feel like, oh.
No, but like moments. But I don't want to put a false belief out there where our communication is 100% all the time.
I know, but you always think we fight. I think we don't, so.
We're fighting right now, aren't we? I'm kidding.
So it's all in perspective. I personally feel our communication is on A game.
No.
I think to your standard, you feel like it could be tweaked.
It's communication in comparison. You're looking in comparison to people that you have sitting in your fucking hairdresser's hair that eat eat drama for breakfast.
Yes.
Right. That's comparatively, right?
Yes.
Whereas for me, I'm like, well, high communication is like what we do and then better.
Yes. So this was my point. So my friend, with all the goodness of her heart and due to her own experiences, she was like, that's weird and that's a red flag. I said, no, it's not. And she said, 100%. Why on earth would someone want to book an Airbnb? He's a male. Ma. And with all the comfort in my heart, it didn't persuade me into thinking otherwise. And I was able to do that because of the high level of understanding that we both had. Had we not been on that level, I also feel like another danger zone with when you're getting to know someone and trying to work out what you're both about, communicating that to other people that do not understand can also create that sabotage.
Judgment. Yeah. External judgment. Whenever you're communicating where there is involvement of your future life decisions, make sure that the person you're speaking to actually already has what you want or better.
Yes. And that's a very, very big key as well. So
yeah, if they don't have what you want or better, don't fucking listen to them.
So on that note, I don't talk to anyone about the real nitty gritty about us. Yep. Because no one understands us better than we do.
Yep. You can sometimes speak to people that have good, if they have coaching ability and perspective ability and they can actually remove themselves from it to help you process something, that's different. But if it's someone that doesn't have the actual what you want already, their opinion is probably not going to be useful. However,
I learned that the hard way.
Sure. So, I think we all have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anyone who's learned that lesson has learned it the hard way. They haven't learned it the easy way, right? The other thing that I want to communicate and suggest there, one of the best things that I have done and still do is 2 to 3 days every 6 to 8 weeks in an Airbnb by myself with no communication to any other human, with the intention of getting really clear on what did I do well the past 8 weeks, what did I fuck up on, and what do I want to create for the next 8 weeks. Because in my, like, this is my personal experience, I can't do that in the same place and in expectation and judgment of other people at that point in time, because I'm not fully within my own thoughts and I can't be my full self and get to the full truth at the same time too. But after that, everything's 100% clear. But I typically tend to need that space. And I think most people do. They just don't give themselves the permission to do it.
Mm. Yeah.
That's my opinion. So when I have done that, it's been really, really helpful.
You come back a brand new person.
Yeah, because it's almost, it's not a reboot. It's actually, how do I describe this?
Shift, Alt, Control, Delete.
Sort of, yes. The biggest benefit, the biggest benefit to it is that we all need to shift and change as humans. I think that shifting and changing happens in the dark and shadow, not in the actual game, right? MJ didn't get good at playing basketball on the court. He got good at playing basketball in his head first and then practicing so he could be on the court to be the world's greatest, if that makes sense. Right? And the only way for that to happen is actually off court reviewing what you've done for the past X amount of time. Because if you don't have that perspective, then you're in a position where everything is too loud for you to make accurate decisions, if that makes sense. Also, and sometimes I do that now where I just lay on the, like last night I was laying on the couch, like, you're alright? I was on nothing, I'm just fucking processing.
And that's the thing, so you never used to communicate that stuff with me. So I'd be around you and you'd be like zoned out, or you'd be dry, you had no mental capacity to, like, your social battery was just done. And I'm all fresh, I'm full of energy, and you wouldn't give me anything back, and I'd take that personally. But now when you say about what we were saying earlier, like the prevention, like you're preventing prevention. It. Yeah, so when I walked in the door yesterday and I saw you laying there, I didn't cue on because I was just so excited to see you. And you were like, hey, just to let you know, I'm like this because of my situation in the business at the moment, and this is what I'm dealing with. And I went, ah, oh, okay, I'll fuck off now. I'll make you dinner. And then you then asked at dinner, I'm just letting you know, I need to sleep as soon as I eat. I went, okay, no problem. So I didn't take that personally, and I allowed you to do
it. And how much better am I now because I did do that? Because if I didn't, I wouldn't have woken up with a clear head, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be good today.
Yeah.
So I would have been a poor version of myself today for the day that we have together, if that makes sense. Yes,
and I, as a woman and as a female, and I feel like a lot of women need to tune into this, is that you kind of...
yeah, we know.
Not disagree, but you have your thoughts around it. But that, to me, is sacrificial. I had to sacrifice everything that I wanted to understand what you needed in that moment and put my own desires aside so that I can enjoy today with you.
She is so much better at that than I am.
Because if I wanted it my way, then I'd want you to sit with me. I would have created a fight. I haven't seen you all day. I've been working all day. Now I've cooked for you. Now you're going to bed. You don't appreciate me. And I hear a lot of that where women, particularly like in the salon, they're feeling like they are so unappreciated, but it's not because of their own selfish views. It's because I personally feel like their men are not communicating exactly what they need, so they are felt left in the dark in that particular situation. And then when I come to reason, like, do you think he's tired or do you think he's this, because of the lack of respect, it's no, like, fuck him. I do all the work and I do this. And
this
I,
is when you're speaking to someone else.
Yes. I understand it.
So Michelle has to speak to about 100 women a month who are all sitting in her salon chair. So she would have a vast exposure to this, if that makes sense.
Yes. And it's not his right, she's right. I personally feel like they are not coming together with clear, open communication. And because I'm not a relationship therapist, I have to like stand there and just nod and agree, because I genuinely do understand where they're coming from, but I can't speak on both their behalves. But I also, there's this fire inside me because I'm like, I have the SOP towards this and I can't give it to you.
And why I wanted to show any of this on this episode, whether people find this interesting or not, I don't know. I might get feedback and say, don't ever do that again. If that's the case, fuck you. Not really, but we'll probably end up doing more of this stuff, because what has worked really well for us is, like, I think there's a good group, like a good blueprint.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's a good blueprint, if that makes sense. Or at least for understanding each other, right? I think we've had a really hard time with it. You mentioned it in the beginning, like, we're 2 years in, and I think the past 6 months is when things have started to get good.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that was chaos.
Absolute chaos. Like, not that I hated you for the first year and a half, but I spent a lot of time thinking, fuck, this is difficult. And I used to say to you, this shouldn't be this difficult. But
should is the worst word ever.
I know,
ever.
But I'm so
should
grateful.
Should is the worst word ever.
I am so grateful it is, because 2 years in, and I feel like I'm, like, in my honeymoon phase, and I want this honeymoon phase to last forever.
Well, that's the, I think there's two things that create that. One is being on the same page, and two, the question of what's next.
Keeping it.
Right? Like, what's next?
Keeping our game above us.
Right? And eventually, like, I was chatting with Michelle about this yesterday, and something I really want to do, and this is something, like, this might be a cue in to something we're hoping to do in future, is like, I want to get other high performing couples on a podcast and interview them and find out, what do you guys do that works? Like, what works for you guys that are out there? What works for you guys internally in your relationship to make it okay for you guys to do everything and still create the lives that you guys want without, with as little disappointment and letdown as possible. It's not that you're not going to find it, but with as little disappointment and letdown as possible.
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, that's always going to exist because of the nature of needing to, in your language, sacrifice different things, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how does every other couple out there who are high performing get on the same page? And in what way do they win together at the same time as well? That's the way I think about it anyway. And that sounds very interesting to me. And I've not been able to find any other resources out there where that's available, if that makes sense. Not for that exact problem anyway. Like, for me, that's a really interesting topic to talk about, and I'd love to learn more about that.
Well, my mind just went to other couples that I like to admire. Two particular came to my mind was Stuman, yep. Ryan Stuman and Amy, and yep. Jordan Peterson and his wife. Sorry, okay. I don't know her name. But I from an outsider's perspective looking in, I see that Jordan had his vision and Ryan has his vision, and their wives complement that.
Mm.
They jump on board with that. It's not a battle of, sure, they're their own people and they have their own goals and their own aspirations, but they are there succeeding because they are supporting the vision that their man has brought to the table. And it's, I feel like it's a very hard concept to grab in this modern age, because it's just so, do you know, so the other way.
I think she's talking about politically and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Michelle really cares about that stuff. I like making money.
I don't care about
it. I like making money. That's
I don't care about the political stuff. I just think for myself, it's my own barriers that I need to break when I'm doing stuff like this, because I'm so scared of offending anyone. But yeah,
No,
that's just my opinion.
Offense is only something that you would create yourself. There's black and white, right? Either you're black or you're white. There is division between the two, if that makes sense, right? So whatever you stand for, you're allowed to stand for, and you're allowed to throw rocks at the other at the same time too. That's how you create a great following and belief around that.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at this time? What happened?
Do you remember?
I wasn't there.
Yes, you were, no, and we were it. Arguing. It was like the first couple of months of us dating.
We've never argued. You just said that before.
No, we were going ham on each other. We were going ham. And you said to me, you're just so black and white. You need grey area in your life.
I'm telling you, bro, grey is real.
Do you remember what I said to you?
Everything. I know. You stood your ground and said black and white is a real thing. And how's your perspective on that now?
Wait. I said to you, the only time I mix colours is when I'm at work.
But do you see my perspective now? Because not everything is black and white.
No.
And you actually do need grey. And I learned this. I forget who I learned it off. But the wars are won in the grey area.
Yes.
Right? Like the wars... Every real war is won in the grey, not in the black and white. Black and white is a fallacy, in my opinion. Grey is where the real work happens.
I'm still working on it.
She's still got a little bit of resistance to it, and that's okay. I'm still
working on it.
That's okay. Because grey is comprehension. So you're still trying to work out what the grey is there.
Yes.
She's looking at me with daggers, and that's okay.
No,
too.
I'm not.
No, you are, you fucking liar. But... it's 2 years. I've learned a lot about how to at least work well in this relationship. I don't know about others because I'm not in other relationships. I've been in other relationships. Actually, no, I haven't. I've never been in another relationship
before. That's right. I've never the first and only woman you've ever loved.
You're the first person I've ever even... You're the first woman I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I saw my mother. She was there. But I've never even seen another woman.
There's a man crossing.
Yep, that's moment. A man. Man with tits. That's normal these days. In this day and age, that's normal. Woman with a dick, man with tits. Very good. And I'm very grateful that we've been able to work hard at getting on the same page at the same time as well. You know, the future looks like having, in the next 20 years, 100 properties together, running events together, helping other businesses, other people who are in businesses with a lot of the problems we're talking about at the same time too, while being able to, you know, build a little network of people who want the same and have a family where people would look from the outside and go, hey, that doesn't suck. I think I'd like that too, right? I love looking at life that way because, like, when I look at things from, if I was outside looking in, would I be okay with what's happening, if that makes sense? Because if I wouldn't, then everything is out of alignment. But I always find the best way to live up to that standard is to actually put a video camera on it, because then you can't escape it. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why I actually like doing stuff like this, because I can't escape the truth, because you'll expose me otherwise. She's smirking right now. What are you going to expose me
on? I always have your back, babe. I'll always back you up. I'm not here to expose you. I will always, always back you up, and you know that.
Even if I lie?
In front of other people, I'll back you up. But behind closed doors, no, I will tell you how it is behind closed doors, but I will always have your back.
I actually can't lie anyway. I don't have it in me.
Yeah.
I genuinely, it's like highest value is honesty. Which is why I have so many problems sometimes.
No, it's not a problem.
No, but it creates a lot of frustration, frustration and resistance because of my direct nature and honesty. Might be the best way to explain it. Anyway, is there anything else that you, lesson-wise, you'd like to say, share, learn?
No, I think I'm done.
Okay. What, with me and the relationship, or like?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. I just like sometimes you have to ask for clarity, if that makes sense. I love you. Thank you for the past 2 years. I hope you like the flowers you have sitting on your lap right now.
They are beautiful.
We just got to Vaucluse in Sydney right now. We're going to look at some of the beautiful houses and all sort of stuff to get some inspiration for the houses we're going to build and probably buy and sell in future at the same time too. And then go to a float tank to actually, I don't know what happens in a float tank. I might try and do something naughty. She's going to get me in trouble. She's going to start fucking cursing me in all different languages because she's Arabic and she can do that legally. And then we're probably going to go have some lunch, eat a whole lot of meat, and ask her to eat my meat too, but that's a different story for a different day.
Chris!
I love you. Thank you so much.
Good night.
And
I adore you.
Hopefully you don't hate me for the next 400 years too.
No, never.
Thank you for listening. If you guys like this, let us know too. I enjoy sharing this stuff, and I think that in future creating more stuff like this would be really cool because I love sharing the comparison between relationships and business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they are such a strong comparative nature, and if you do it correctly, you can actually use the same skills in both places and have the best fucking life.
Yes.
Get the life that you actually want. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Love you, Michelle.
I love you too, baby.
Bye.